This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. On today's roundtable, campaign season officially begins. Will the Bush administration's performance in the Middle East bog the GOP down? And he's been on an important mission, but how successful has Kofi Annan's visit to the Middle East been? Joining us today from our Chicago bureau is Roland Martin, executive editor of the Chicago Defender, along with Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, and Michael Myers of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, listen, before we get into talking about the Middle East, I'd like to ask you this sort of off-topic question. You just heard the conversation that I had about the new television season, and without taking much more time on the subject, would you be willing to just tell us briefly, are you TV watchers, the three of you, and what do you think as you see what's being offered on the tube for you, or should I say what's not being offered, as the case may be? Roland, why don't you start?
Absolutely. I mean, I absolutely love television. It is a great escape between all the jobs that I have. But clearly things are missing. You know, what offends me, of course, is the fact that African-Americans build up these networks and then they abandon us. The reality is Fox would never have been able to bid for the NFL rights had African-American viewers not watched that network. The same thing with UPN and WB. And as usual, African-Americans are the first one abandoned when those networks become successful. And so really the only show that I will consistently watch would be probably Grey's Anatomy because of the diversity of that cast, mm-hmm. and also because it's a great show. But certainly you don't see a lot of shows targeted towards me.
That's interesting. What do you think, Laura?
Well, last night, Tony, I sat down relaxing Labor Day evening to watch some TV, and I went through 100 channels, and I couldn't find anything. I turned it off, and I went and got a book.
Really?
I do like to watch TV, but there's just so little on TV that it appeals. Remember when cable first came on the scene, and this was going to be the salvation for folks who were sick of network news, and some of the worst stuff is on cable now. I thought your conversation earlier was very interesting in the sense that there is a recognition among some networks that diversity does make money. But they don't see any need to respond to a call for social responsibility. But at least they understand that they can make money off of us. And so maybe that leaves us some hope for the future.
That's a shame. 1,000 channels on cable TV.
Well, I said 100, but if I'd done 1,000,
it still would have
found
it. Precisely.
Michael, what about you?
Well, I think this is a different time. You don't look for diversity in terms of separate programming anymore, except on the former UPN. But blacks are in mainstream shows in starring roles. For example, one of the shows I do watch on television, which I believe is excellent, is House. And one of the major doctors on that show is an African-American.
That's right.
There are also a young woman and a young white male who's on the show, and the House is the white medical doctor who is the star of the show. But they are stars in some way. But when you talk about the best shows being, quote-unquote, the best shows being lost in Desperate Housewives, I think TV is lost. I think the people who view TV these days must be Desperate Housewives, because most of TV is a wasteland. And the producers and the creators of these shows must be pretty desperate. And it's no wonder that HBO, its motto is not TV, it's HBO, because they don't want to be TV.
Absolutely.
When that old song that television is the death of the nation, it's breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. I think that's it. They lack imagination. There's no creativity. Survivor even is now coming up as a response in the context, in the name of diversity, coming up with racial matching and putting tribes of blacks and Asians and whites. And what kind of nonsense is this? As if the only way to increase diversity on television is to have separatism and segregation. What's okay. next? Blacks who marry white against blacks who marry their own kind?
Right.
This is just silliness. It's craziness.
That might be a good TV show, Mike.
Say no.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, it sounds like maybe we'll have to revisit this. Maybe in a month when half these shows have already been canceled, we'll see who survives. Let's move on. We're now officially into the fall campaign season. It's something that we are not likely to see a lot of on television, it appears, as the campaigns heat up. Are pictures of President George W. Bush, With every Republican candidate trying to hold on to his or her congressional seat, it seems Republican candidates are beginning to distance themselves from the president in very public ways. I'm thinking now just of Maryland yesterday. How risky, Roland Martin, is that strategy for the candidate?
First of all, it's not risky at all because it's no different when President Clinton was in office, when candidates wanted him to raise money, but they did not want his face seen anywhere near voters. And so it happens. The White House understands that. And so, frankly, they're going to go along with it. They're going to remain sort of in a stealth role, continuing to raise funds. And so what you also find, though, that if there is a major turnaround in this war on terror, if something happens, then the president's number is probably going to go up 10, 12 points. And then you're going to see candidates flocking to stand right next to him. This is the nature of politics.
What do you say, Laura?
Well, Roland mentioned raising funds. I think this is going to be the crucial demonstration of the Republican Party's power. Even Rahm Emanuel has been saying that he's really worried about the money. Rahm Emanuel, of course, being the lead to political drive behind the Democratic Party's effort to take back the House. The money's going to have to be parsed, and it's going to have to be targeted in certain races. For example, it's clear that the Republican Party is going to have to focus on Congress. It's going to have to, you know, fall away from many of these gubernatorial races. For example, the one here in Illinois, Judy Barrett Topinka is running against Rob Blagojevich. Judy Barrett Topinka is a Republican candidate. She was hoping, she in fact agreed to, I think stupidly agreed to campaign with Bush and agreed to appear with him in exchange for a promise of money. Well, that money's probably not going to be as forthcoming as she thought because they're really going to have to focus. But you also will see Bush's picture appear in campaign ads, except they will be the Democratic Party's campaign ads, and they will be showing pictures of Bush in the past with these Republican candidates. They're going to ram that down their throats.
Let me put a different question to you, Michael Myers. There are 60-plus days or so left before the election, and pundits have all but given the House over to the Democrats, with the Senate, most saying, a little too close to call at the moment. But predictions, of course, are just that, predictions. So how realistic do you see the prospects of the Democrats retaking both houses for the first time since 1994?
I don't go with the pundits, and I don't go with polls, as Walter Mondale said to his chagrin. Polls don't vote. People vote. People vote. Polls don't vote. I think people are not. Bush is not on the ballot, except the people who want to put him on the ballot, thinking that he's vulnerable. But people are not going into the voting booth looking for George Bush's name. George Bush knows, and his handlers know, that this election, and all the elections in this off year, are local, and therefore the local candidates are running the best they can based on what they believe their own electorate believes, and they will pander to what their electorate believes. But nationally, they're preparing for the big deal, and that is that Bush's handlers are saying we are still in a culture war. Bush represents the people who are against abortion. He represents people who are against gay marriage. He represents people who are against stem cell research. And everything in terms of the culture where people are concerned that the quote-unquote liberals or the Democrats are destroying the American culture, that's what they're hoping people will vote for.
Michael, let's play it out.
But one other thing. They're also saying that Bush represents the best thing we have against terrorism.
I think that
they're stoking that. So, you know, the alternative is the Democrats. And I think the Democrats get scared talking about cultural issues, and they get scared talking about terrorism.
Yeah, but I think you have some disagreement. Go ahead.
Michael, I think you said that they're hoping that the cultural issues will be front and center, but they're not going to be. It's going to be Iraq. It's going to be terrorism. It's going to be national security. And I think Democrats can make it in the economy. Absolutely. As people continue to look at show up at those gas stations with those high prices, there's so much discomfort.
Gas prices are going down right before the election.
They're up and down. They're up and down. Just wait till tomorrow.
Well,
the economy is going to be a really important key issue. The culture stuff is going by the wayside.
Look, President Bush's handlers understood this in January when they kept saying we have to make the war on terror the principal position of this midterm election. They understand that. They know that when it comes to domestic issues, the president is woefully weak. So Social Security, immigration. They're backing away from immigration right now. Every major domestic issue, they're backing away from. They are hoping and praying it's a matter of terror, that something indeed does happen.
Oh, because, come on, Roland, you think they're hoping for a terrorist attack?
No, I said no.
He
I said terrorist attack.
Said.
No. Again, yeah. look at what happens in terms
when
we have red alert, orange alert, and pink alert, whatever we have.
We don't have those alerts anymore.
Well, let me bring this in.
They want that to happen because they know they cannot campaign on domestic policy.
Well, let me bring in the issue. Let me bring this in because I want to make sure that we get an opportunity to hit it before our time runs out. Because Roland raised the issue of terrorism, and all of you have touched on it, and I think that you're quite right. But with the latest quarterly Pentagon report reporting a grim picture of the rise in casualties in Iraq, which is sort of the face of terrorism at the moment, the White House has taken a different tact in its defense of the war, from saying that we must and we will win the war to now saying we must not lose. So here's my question. I'll start with you, Laura. Is that a difference the American public can accept?
That remains to be seen. I think it's a very appealing argument. Basically, they're saying we were wrong 3 years ago, but we're right now to stay in this. And they keep connecting anything that happens as a provocation against us is connected to September 11th. So you better believe next Monday they're going to be out there front and center using that September 11th, 5th anniversary to connect to everything that's going on in Iran and everything that's going on in Lebanon and everything that's going on in Iraq. And they're going to say we cannot afford to abandon the Middle East. And by walking out of Iraq, that's what we're doing. And I think that's going to appeal to some folks who are really jittery about national security.
Hey, Tony, I'll connect it
Go ahead. Now.
There are more people, there are more U.S. soldiers who have died in Iraq than the people who died in the World Trade Center attacks. That is a reality. And when you have a position and say, at first we have to win, now it's we have to lose, then you're going to see the linkage between Vietnam. When we begin to say, oh no, we can't pull out, it's going to hurt in terms of the standing of America in the rest of the world, it's already been hurt and shattered. We have not created a better situation. We have not. And at some point, the administration, they probably won't get it, but the American people, day by day, are understanding that, and that is what is hurting the president the most.
Well, Michael Myers, is that a distinction without a difference without a distinction, though?
I think it's naive. I don't think Americans, even most Americans, many Americans, are modified that way, even though where Iraq or Iran is on the map.
They know their sons and daughters are dying.
I think a lot of people feel the world is falling apart, not just Iran, not just Iraq, but, you know, North Korea, the Middle East, natural disasters, age-old religious, ethnic, national conflicts, homelessness, disease, mm-hmm. Africa, poverty, slavery. People feel the world is falling apart, and therefore they're looking for religion, or they're not looking for religion as an answer. And it goes back home. It comes back to the domestic issues, because the Bush and his crowd are saying, look, the world is falling apart. The world is perilous. Who do you trust to keep us safe? Who do you trust to keep us against terror, to hold the line against terrorism? And that's where it comes back to the domestic issues, because they're going to use the word liberal again. Do you trust the liberals who are mostly concerned about quote-unquote civil liberties, as opposed to people who want people checked, profiled in any way possible when they get on the airplane? American voters vote based on their fears and their passions and their prejudices.
All right, well,
Bush administration,
Tony Liberals not playing.
Know that.
Well, that's true.
Tony, liberal is not going to play. The reason the polls are changing right now is because the Democrats haven't even said or done anything. People have a backlash against the administration and their policies. Just imagine if the Democrats had a basic plan to change America.
You think they're going to play in Connecticut? You think Joe Lieberman is going down, who's riding the coattails of George W. Bush's Middle East policies? Do you think he's going down? Do you think that the Republicans are not going to run against liberal Howard Dean and think they can beat Howard Dean at the polls? Come on.
That's absolutely right. We have about 3 minutes left, and I want to hit one other topic before we get away and try to, if you can, I know you guys all have wonderful things to say, but try to stay on point as much as you can. Kofi Annan has been a very busy man. His Middle East mission to Iran, Syria, Israel, Lebanon, he's been all over the place. Basically, how effective was this trip for him and the United Nations as a whole? Do you get the sense that he made a difference at all, Laura?
No, I don't. I think he had to go, and he had to put. Basically, he's putting his personal credibility on the line on this. But we really haven't made a lot of movement, and so I think that he at this point now he's going to have to sit on the sidelines.
What do you say, Roland?
I would disagree in that. First of all, for him to even get the Israelis as well as Hezbollah to agree to mediation. Is significant. You're talking about folks who have a no-talk policy, who refuse to even communicate with one another because they set up very hard standards. And so just to even get them to talking to one another, I think, is a big step because that's huge. They don't talk.
Has there really been, though, in your view, Michael Myers, significant movement? There's been a lot of talking. Roland Martin is correct about that, but action is one of the issues that people are looking for. You've got about a minute or so. What do you say?
Well, I think hopefully now it's time for him to go.
Really?
You know, I think he's been inept. I don't think he's been effective. I don't think he's respected. I agree with Laura in that regard. I see mostly this shuttling diplomacy a little late, very late. I mean, are the prisoners yet released, or is that Jesse Jackson's job?
If it's Jesse Jackson's job, he hasn't done a very good job of that either.
Nobody is very good diplomat anymore. The world is falling apart, mm-hmm. and the UN is the deadline has passed. This is family radio, so I can't tell you what these people are doing in terms of show me this and show me that.
But Mike, could it be we have good diplomats but hard insides?
These folks are just incompetent.
Well, our time has run out,
folks. They don't even know how to talk.
We've got to stop right there. And our Chicago Bureau, Roland Martin, executive editor, of the Chicago Defender, Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, Michael Myers, executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. My last question, you can answer it in unity. This is a one-word answer, yes or no. Are you going to watch Katie Couric tonight?
Are you kidding?
I take that as a no.
Yes.
I got a TiVo, Tony.
Everybody, thank you for being with us. As always, if you'd like to comment on any of the topics you've heard on our roundtable, you can call us at 202-408-3330. That's 202-408-3330. Or you can send us an email, log on to npr.org, and click on Contact Us. And please be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name. Thanks, everybody.